Maybe this morning your week has been a lot like my week. Easter is such a celebration and an exciting time. And I just want you to know that Christ is still risen. I just want to remind you of that. But I want us to take just a moment this morning as the band just continues just to play. That God would just quiet our hearts and our minds this morning. God has been challenging me this week through His Word as we open up a new series in the book of Acts, as we look about what does it look like for God to impact our lives and how our lives can impact those around us and literally the world. So this morning, I just wanted to take just a moment just to close your eyes. You can sit, you can stand, you can kneel, whatever you need to do just to come before God and just, Lord, just speak to us, Father. Lord, open our hearts and our minds and just still us this morning. Heavenly Father, humbly come before you this morning. Father, I'm just incredibly overwhelmed, Father, the opportunity that we have, Lord. Lord, every single day through the Holy Spirit, God, to come into your presence, Lord, I'm thankful that we can gather as a church family, Father, but Lord, this can take place at any time, at any place. Lord God, I want to pray for those here this morning, Father, who might have just a burden in their life. Lord, whatever that looks like, Lord, you know, God, I pray even in this moment, God, that they can just cast that at your feet. And Lord, your word says that you want to carry that burden. God, come and fill this place, Lord. Challenge us, teach us, grow us, make us more like you. This morning, and God, as we open up your word, Father, Lord, may it speak with truth and boldness. Lord, may it move us. Lord, maybe for some of us, Lord, maybe in a place where we maybe feel comfortable, uncomfortable, Father, Lord, we've got to trust in you and all that we do. So, God, that's my prayer this morning for myself as well, Lord. God, we love you. And we praise you. And all God's people said, amen. You may be just seated. And I'm just excited to be here. And I want you to know this morning that as I was studying and I was looking into the book of Acts, I just want you to know that I was incredibly convicted in my own life. And my prayer is that God will do the same in ours, that God will speak to us and God will challenge us. And God, maybe for the first time, might move us in a place that we have not been before. And I know many times as we look at this, we want to feel comfortable. We want to be in a place where we come and do these things and we want to go and do our own thing. So I want you to know that this message is just as much for me as it is for you this morning. And last week, as we celebrated Easter, as we celebrated that Christ is risen, there were a lot of doubts and there was a lot of fears in the life of the disciples. If you were here last week, we saw that, you know, they were running and they were trembling with fear to the point they were going to their house and they were locking their doors. And I love that they were there, because many times I'm there. Many times I doubt, and many times there's fear in my life as it pertains to me following after Jesus. But I love in the pursuit of God and the pursuit of them, He brought truth, He brought clarity, and He brought peace. And we saw in Luke chapter 24, specifically in verse 52, that all of their fears was overwhelmed with peace and hope. And we see in Luke 24:52, it says, "Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God." Here's why: because God impacted, Jesus impacted their lives in such a way that their fears went away, and hope and joy and boldness flushed into their lives because of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I want you to know that as we look through the book of Acts, I want to challenge you, I want to challenge myself, because as I've been reading, I think the reason I've been challenged most is, as I look at the early church, it doesn't look a lot like the church that we attend today. It doesn't look a lot like what we come and what we do and what we're involved in. So my prayer is this morning that you and I might be challenged for the first time as it pertains to the church. And I want you to know, because we think, you know, the church, you know, where if they build it, they will come. I want you to know that you are the church. You make up the part of the body of Christ. There would be no church here this morning if you were not here. And so I just want to let you know that, because sometimes we think that the church is, man, what a beautiful building, what an awesome bank this used to be, or whatever the sitting. Did you know in the New Testament that doesn't say anywhere that we even need to build a building to be the church? And so I want you to have that understanding coming into this, and my prayer is that God would just do something awesome in these next few weeks as He impacts our lives. We're going to jump right in, all right? Go ahead and go to Acts chapter 1. We're going to do things a little bit differently this morning. You're like, "Brandon, every week you're different, all right? You're just a weird dude, all right?" But this morning, we're going to do something a little bit different, because there's a card in and around your seat, okay? And we're going to get to that in just a moment, okay? Don't throw it away yet. But we're going to be using that in just a moment. So Acts chapter 1, we're going to be starting in verse 1 together. Everybody ready? Yeah. All right, a few of you are ready. All right, everybody else will wake up here soon. Here we go. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." Verse 4, "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about.'" Verse 5, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." He says, verse 6, "Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority.'" Verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go in to heaven." Let's pray together. Father, Lord, we just come before you this morning. Father, Lord, we just ask for clarity, God. We ask, Lord, that you would just use your word, Father, to speak to us. God, I pray that my words would be of you, that it would be edifying to the body, Lord. I pray, God, that it would lift us up, it would build us up, Father. And God, as we do open your word, Father, Lord, we believe in its truth, God. We believe in its power, Father. So this morning, God, use it to make us more like you. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to take your card here. This is going to represent a blank card. You're like, okay, it's a blank card. I get it. Okay, yeah, we're going to put it on the floor. Everybody do this. I'm totally kidding. All right. It's going to represent a blank check. Anybody ever heard of a blank check? You know, you take a blank check, what are you going to do with it? I didn't want to hand out checks. Wasn't sure what you would do with it exactly, okay, because it would probably bounce anyway. But this morning, this is going to be our blank card. This is going to be a blank card, and the reason I want to look at this is because I think from time to time it's good for us to have a heart-to-heart. Does anybody have heart-to-hearts with their wives or their girlfriend or boyfriend or their family? And it's good to have those moments because life is so fleeting, life is so fast, they're kind of few and far between. They really, really are. And I love those moments we can kind of come together, we can have a heart-to-heart, we can be challenged, we can have a self-evaluation, we can have a church evaluation, and we can ask some difficult questions. And this morning, I want us to take this piece of paper, this card, and I want us to ask some quick questions and maybe some difficult questions for many of us this morning. If we put ourselves in the book of Acts, when Jesus says, I want to establish my church, and I want to use you. I want to use every single person here. Like there is no church, there is no understanding of church, there is no buildings, there is no worship teams, there's none of this stuff, there's no programs, there's none of this stuff. My question for you and for I, is that right? I don't know. Would things be differently for you and me? And my question is, do we really believe what we're studying? Do we really believe this book? I want you to answer this self. Do you really believe this book? Let me go a step further for you. Not only do you believe that the Word of God is the true and inerrant Word of God, are you willing to fashion your life around its teachings? And is this church willing to make some changes possibly? Are you willing to make some changes possibly in your life to align yourself with the Word of God? Because many times I think I am a John chapter 6 believer. If you remember the story, Jesus was feeding the 5,000 with the little boy's lunch. And the disciples go across the water and Jesus shows up and he starts teaching the Word of God. And in that moment, in John chapter 6, verse 60, it says that many of those people who followed after Jesus, they respond in this way. Jesus, your teachings are too difficult. We believe in you, but your word is too difficult. And it says on that day that the majority of the people left. They abandoned Jesus in that moment. And so this morning, if this book is true, if we believe that the Word of God is true, my prayer is that it would literally change you, it would change me, it would change this church in such a way that we would be the hands and feet of Christ, and that we would have such an impact on this community, and that we would have such an impact on the world, even as a couple of hundred people as we gather together. You see, Jesus took 12, and it says that they impacted the world for eternity. Man, we're a lot bigger. We've got more than 12 people in here this morning. And it is the same God, the same Spirit, the same understanding that Jesus wants to use you and I to impact those around us. So if we had a blank check, if we had a blank card, would our church, would our lives be different in any way. I want to give you 9 things this morning. If we had a blank check, what would we do? What would it look like? So if you want to use that card that you have been given to write these things down, feel free to do so. Because I think that God wants to do something in our lives. I think God wants to do something in my life. I think God wants to do something in the life of this church. And here's the thing. It might be different than what we're doing now. Our lives might be different than what they are now. And the question is do we believe this book? And are we willing to, for some of us, to make some changes, to be obedient to the Word of God in our lives? We must give God a blank card, a blank check as a church. Because number one, I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. Because Jesus is worthy of absolute surrender in our lives. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 1, it says, in my former book. Now, I want you to know that Luke was the one who wrote Acts. And he talks here, he says, in my former book, he's speaking of the book of Luke. So Matthew, Mark, Luke. So Luke, all right, is the first book, and Acts is the second, so to speak, but kind of like a continuation of the story. And so in verse 1, he says, in my former book, all right, he's speaking of the book of Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And so Luke, what Luke did is it laid the foundation. It laid the foundation for the portrait of Jesus, the Savior, and that He is worthy of our absolute surrender. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 9. We're gonna take just a little walk through Luke, and I want to kind of lay the foundation for the book of Acts this morning. So Luke chapter 9, go to verse 23 here, all right? It says this, Luke 9, 23, it says, then He said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Have you heard the old saying that, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it? I mean, like, just leave it alone. Or if it's not broken, don't fix it. I wonder how many times we treat our lives that way, maybe even the church that way. You know, like, things aren't like crumbling down. I mean, it's not completely broken, so I'm just not even gonna go there. I think many times my life is that way. Like, you know, it could be worse. I mean, we look at other people's lives and that sort of thing. It's like, you know, my life could be worse, so I'm not even gonna go there. I'm not even gonna try to make some changes. I'm not even gonna try to do some things differently when well off, maybe Jesus even right now is speaking to our hearts about something. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's in a relationship that we know we shouldn't be involved in. Maybe it's some of the choices that we make. Maybe it's some of the words that come out of our mouth. And in those moments, sometimes we look at that and we just want to run and say, man, it could be worse. I am just going to stay away from that. I believe even as the church that God is wanting to do some things differently, even here this morning, all right? Now, we're not going to put a for sale sign on the front there. I'll say, I'm going to calm your nerves this morning, all right? But I believe that God is a movement. The church is a movement, and it is so easy to get complacent. It is so easy to get stagnant because we think, you know, things are okay. And many times in my life and in your life, we stop hearing the Word of God because things are just okay. Jesus is worthy of our absolute surrender. I want you to keep going in Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And the reason I want to read this is because some of these verses are pretty difficult. I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, some of these things, like, you know, what does it look like for me to pick up my cross and follow Jesus? Like, what does that look like in my life? Let's keep reading. Verse 57. It says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, a man was talking to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Maybe some of you have said that this morning. Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." So his response to this man, he's like, "Are you sure? Like, I know you say that you want to follow me. I know that you say that you want to align your life with what I am doing. I know you want your church to do this and do that, but I want you to know that it's not going to be easy. The Son of Man, Jesus himself, it says, I don't even have a place to lie in my head. That might be you. Are you sure you want to follow after me?" Verse 59, he goes on, he says, "He said to another man, 'Follow me,' but he replied, 'Lord, first let me go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God.'" Anybody like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 this is a little harsh here." I mean, I thought it was. You can raise your hand. I thought it was. Where's Jesus going with this? Verse 61, let's keep going. "Still another said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family.' Jesus replied, 'No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God.'" Does this describe your life and mine? I got to be honest with you, like most of the time, it doesn't. Whoa, 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 you know, no, God, I believe in your word. But this is a little much here. You see, Jesus, many times he spoke in parables, many times he spoke in this way, because he knew the hearts of those he was speaking to. The story of the rich young ruler. "Jesus, I want to know what does it look like to inherit the kingdom of God?" And he tells the rich young ruler, "I want you to sell everything. I want you to give all of your wealth away." Whoa. It says that in that moment, the rich young ruler got very, very sad because he was very wealthy. And he walks away from Jesus because he was disappointed that it took that much to follow Jesus. Here's the thing. Stuff is not a problem at all. It's not the problem. That's not what Jesus is getting at here. What the problem is like you and I know, stuff can be a problem. Stuff can hinder our relationship with Jesus. Stuff can get in the way and be the number one in our lives. So here's what Jesus says here. He says, if those things are more important to you, you've got it all wrong. I should be that number one in your life. And are you willing? You say you want to follow. Let me tell you something. This is challenging me this morning. This is rocking my world this morning. Jesus is worthy of absolute surrender in our lives. The second thing, we must give God a blank card, a blank check as a church, because Jesus is still working to advance his kingdom, and he invites us to take part in this. Let's look back at verse 1 of Acts chapter 1. It says again, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach." So here we have in Luke, Jesus was beginning to do all of his miracles. His power was working through himself. He was working through his people. And then the book of Acts comes. He says, "Now, here's what's going to happen here. I'm going to go. I'm going to leave this place. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to come into your lives, and you will do greater things than I have ever done." Yes, the disciples were shocked, just like I'm shocked. Like, God, I don't see you work like I do in the New Testament. I don't see the miracles all around me. I don't see people getting saved left and right. I don't see lives being changed near as much. I don't see marriages being restored. And let me be honest with you. I doubt many times. And Jesus is saying, when my Holy Spirit comes into your lives, there will be power that comes on you. But many times I struggle with this, and many times I am just okay with just okay. It could be worse as many times my response. Jesus is worthy of absolute surrender in our lives. Jesus is still working to advance His kingdom and invites you and I to take part in that. You see, in chapter 1, verse 11, just in those 11 verses, Jesus comes and He's sharing, and then all of a sudden, like, He's gone. It's kind of like an 18-year-old who goes off to college, you know what I mean? Some of them are like, they're like, yes, it sounds great. And they get there like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I got to support myself. I got to make my own decisions. I got to do this and I got to do that. And many times they find themselves down the wrong road, and you pray that they would be faithful, that they would honor God with their lives. But it's like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Like, mom and dad aren't here. You know, the money stopped coming in, and, you know, and I got to pay for my own gas and all of these things. These disciples who went from fearful when Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus came and He encouraged them, and it says they were praising God and they were having joy in their lives, and all of a sudden Jesus is gone. But He says, it is good for me to go. It is good for me to go because now I don't have to just be with you. Now I'm going to be with you all the time. You wake up at 2 a.m. with that heartache or that problem or whatever, I want you to come to me, because there you are, there I will be also. We must give God a blank check, a blank card as a church, because He is worthy of absolute surrender, because Jesus is still working to advance His kingdom. He invites you and I to take part in that. Number three, because Jesus has clothed every single one of us with His power. Verse 8, look at this. Acts chapter 1, but you, speaking of you, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, next week we will be seen in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit falls. Like, some awesome things take place. Kind of some weird things take place. Let's be honest as well, if you know the story. All of a sudden, these many uneducated, and Scripture even talks about this, the Holy Spirit comes on them and power, and everyone is blown away. These dudes start speaking in all different kind of languages, and everybody's like, man, I understand that. I understand that, like, are these? It actually says in Scripture, these guys must be hammered. These guys must have had a long night of drinking, is what everyone says. Anybody ever describe your life that way? Like, that guy's just crazy, all right? He must be intoxicated. I am not intoxicated this morning. Anyway, but that's literally their response, though. They say, these guys must be drunk, and all of a sudden they look at the lives of Peter, and they say, man, these guys are uneducated. These guys must have been with Jesus. And does that describe your life and my life? I mean, not the crazy drunk part, all right? But the part where, like, what's wrong with him? What's going on with her? Like, she's different. Like, I can't explain this. How does she love in such a way? How does she forgive in such a way? How does he do that? And does that story end and say, man, they must be a follower of Jesus? Does that describe your life this morning? You see, as the church starts in the book of Acts, Jesus does give them some instructions, and He says, man, I'm going to be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Like, I am right there with you. I will give you power. And as the church is established, now we usually have one pastor, two pastors, have a couple of staff people that kind of do the work of the church. And maybe this morning, could we have gotten it all wrong? Maybe. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know. Could we? I'm not saying the way we do church is wrong by any means, but here's the thing. The Holy Spirit works in your life just as well as it does in mine. He says, I want you He doesn't say, no, I want those couple called people, you know, those paid people, those professionals. I want those to lead you, and I don't want you to do anything. I want them to do it all. This is speaking, listen to this. I hope you know my heart. But just maybe God wants to use you to preach the good news to those around us. Because I can promise you, you will go to places, you will be involved in relationships that I could never get there. Because as soon as I say I'm a pastor, it's like, you know what I'm saying? I've said that before. It's like, oh, let me do this or that. And you are with them every single day. And the same spirit that lives in my life lives in your life. And you are the church. Maybe, just maybe, that God wants to use you. And I'm saying this because I know He does. He wants to use your life to proclaim the good news to every single person that you come in contact with. But the question is, do we believe what's in this book? And to take it a step further, do we allow this book, the Word of God, to transform our lives and for our lives to be surrounded, like this be the centerpiece, and this is how we make choices. This is how we make choices of what job to take, how to raise our kids, how to talk to our wives and our husbands and our kids. Is this like the central focal point of how we live our lives? And that's what Jesus is getting to here. Like, I need to be there and I want to be there. Jesus has clothed you and I with His power. And here's the thing, verse number 4, it says, in all His fullness and all His power in you, all of us are going with that power. It is a team effort. And as we start reading through the book of Acts, I want to encourage you these next few weeks. There's only 28 chapters. You're like, oh, wow, that's a lot. We're going to be in the book of Acts for a couple of weeks. I want to encourage you to read it, because as we read the book of Acts, the gospel message flourished because people took it where they were going. Literally, it scattered. It wasn't just there in Jerusalem, and that's what changed. Jesus says, now, it's for everyone. And so He says, go. Actually, the New Testament, the Greek, it says, as you are going. It's not like it is a command, but it says, as you're going to work, as you're going here, as you're going there, go and make disciples of all the nations. We must give God a blank card, a blank check as a church, because the world is our goal. Jesus says there in verse 8, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, kind of like Elk City, so to speak, and all Judea, say like Oklahoma, Samaria, the United States, and to the ends of the earth. You see, over the years, I'll just be honest with you. Our church has been scrutinized. I've been scrutinized. Why in the world do you go and take the... Why do you go on mission trips around the world? Like, there is so much work here in Beckham County to be done. And my answer is because God's Word tells us to go. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It's supposed to be all. That we would be working right here in our local communities, but it also says that we should be going around the world to be witnesses of the gospel message. The world is our goal. And number 6, because the Word is our guarantee. All through the Scripture it says that the Scripture was fulfilled. Even when Jesus died on the cross, it says He did that to fulfill Scripture. The Word has promised that this gospel message is going to go to every people group on the planet. So we are guaranteed success. If you knew that you were going to win, would you do it? If you knew the Spirit was going to actively work and go before you, and some of us, let's be honest, some of us are here, and we might be the ones who are just moving the rocks. Don't we love that? Just doing the hard work, moving rocks. And then some of us, God gives us the opportunities to go in and plow the land, to get the hearts of those around us ready. And then some of us, and I love this the best, I'm just going to be honest, I love when you get to come into someone's life and the work of others have been planting in their lives and moving those rocks and getting their hearts fertile as we've been praying for those people. And sometimes God gives us those opportunities to take someone from death to life. And there is no better feeling than see someone give their life to Christ. You see, Jesus promises that He will go with us. He never promises that it will be easy. And I wonder how many times in my life, like, I don't do things because that's just too difficult. God, Your word, it's too much. And I find myself responding just like those John chapter 6, verse 60 believers or followers, like, Jesus, I believe in You, but this is too much. I am not willing to do that. Number 6, the word is our guarantee. Number 7, we must give God a blank check because the Spirit is here. The story is told of a man who lived with his wife on the old farm for many years, barely scratching out a living, all the while beneath the barren, dusty, almost uncultivated, able land was a rich supply of oil. We'll connect with this a little bit. While digging a water well, the farmer discovered this. Thus, he and his wife enjoyed a life of rich blessings, the farmer said, and to think we lived here all these years without knowing how rich we are. Many of us, like that farmer, we go through our days barely hanging on to our spiritual lives, living on our weak ways, while beneath the surface the power of God is ready to break free in our lives. Does that describe you this morning? We must give God a blank check as a church because the Spirit, He is here and He wants to work in and through our lives. Number 8, because the stakes are high. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. We're going to cheat and jump forward just for a second. It says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other disciples, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Verse 40, with many other words He warned them, and He pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Here's the thing. If we believe this word, the lostness around us would affect us. It would. And so many times in my life, I am so busy and I become numb to just life and I'm okay with okay. I forget that there's lost people who don't know Jesus right here. Maybe this morning. And if we really believe this word, it says that if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to God except through Him. That ought to stir us a little bit. That ought to stir my heart a little bit, because that means if someone, let me just be bold here, all right? If someone doesn't know Jesus, they are eternally separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And for those who are in Christ Jesus, live in eternity with God the Father forever and ever and ever and ever. And this is just not something, this is not just a ball game, a win or lose type thing. Like, will I allow this book, God's Word, to transform my life in such a way that those around me, I am burdened for their souls. I am burdened for their lives. I'm burdened for their relationships. I'm burdened for their kids. I'm burdened for their marriage. I'm burdened for the addictions that they are in. So maybe, just maybe, God wants us to change some things even right here at One Church. Maybe He wants us to get rid of some of our programs. I don't know. Maybe He wants some of you to go. Maybe we could be more of a sending church than a gathering church. Here's the thing, gathering is so important because this is where we get energized. This is where we get to fellowship. But Jesus says most of our time, we need to go, we need to scatter. We need to be the church to those around us. And yes, some of us, yes, we need to go to Thailand. We need to go to Oman. We need to go to South America. Some of us, God is speaking to our hearts, but we're okay with okay. But maybe He's calling us to something more. We must give God a blank check as a church because the stakes are high. And lastly, I'm going to ask Wesley to come up. We must give God a blank check for our lives and for our church because the coming of Christ leaves us with an eager anticipation. You see in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. I love this. Jesus says, I'm leaving. Like I am going. I want you to wait. But I want to give you this promise. I will return in the same way. Many of you know this. You've read the book of Revelations. We love the book of Revelations. We want to know when, where, why, all of these things. Here's what I want to give you this morning. I promise you. And the reason I can bet that promise is because the Word of God, I believe it, that God will return. He will return. And Matthew tells us He will return. I'm totally kidding, all right? You were hoping for that. He will return when the gospel message is reached all around the world. That's actually what Matthew tells us. And did you know there's about 1.5 billion people who don't have access to the gospel? Did you know that the church has enough financial stability? I'm talking about the worldwide church to go to every single crook and nanny around the world and to be the hands and feet of Christ to bring the gospel to them? Like the church is richer than ever. We have access to every single part of the world through airplanes, through internet, through all of these things. So here is my question. These 12 people, it says that they radically changed the world. Not in their own strength. These guys were no better than you and I. Many of them uneducated. Some of you have master's degrees. Some of you are doctors. Some of you are teachers. I believe for me it comes back to this. Not only do I believe it, but am I willing to surrender everything in my life, everything, even waiting on burying my father. That's what Jesus is getting to. Like everything needs to be on hold for me. So maybe this morning, God is speaking to your heart because I know He's speaking to mine. Maybe He wants you to move. You're like, what? I never even thought about that. Maybe He wants me to change jobs. Maybe He wants me to go and meet my neighbors for the first time. Maybe He wants to use me as a Little League coach or whatever it might be to be more intentional, like, you know, baseball, all of these things are good. I love it. So maybe we can crack through there and start having some relationships with the people on the team. Just giving some examples here. They're all around us all the time. So as we close, we've got our blank card. Maybe some of you have taken notes. I want to challenge you with this. I want to challenge you in this next 1 minute. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to say, God, if this is your heart, God, I want my life to be as this blank card. I want you to take my life. And I want you to use it. I want you to mold me. I want you to make me. I want you to use me. I want you to send me. I want you to do whatever it needs to take. That's a bold prayer. I want you to do whatever it takes to bring me to the point where I am following you in obedience. Some of you might already be there, and I sure hope so. But I can promise you, just like in my life, there's some things I need to change. There's some things I need to hand over.
We'll take just a moment. We'll close. Father, Lord, thank you for your word. God, I even pray in my own life, Father, God, that I would even go past believing, that I would go past and be obedient. God, your desire is to use your church, those who have surrendered their lives before you. Father, I pray, God, even this morning, God, I pray that you would continually put it in our hearts and our minds until we give it up. Like this week, God, I want to pray for some of us that this might be a miserable week because you're trying to get our attention. Because you love us and you want to use us, Father, in such a way to magnify you, not only right here, Lord, but around the world. God, I want to pray for those who are in transition, those who are making decisions right now. God, I pray, Lord, maybe they haven't. God, that they will bring you into the equation. Lord, that you would be the surrounding factor of a choice or a decision or a job change or a job move or whatever it might look like, Father, Lord, that you would be the one that we would seek wisdom and counsel from, and that the church could rally around and encourage and edify you, Father, and that people would see the church, Lord. Lord, not just one church, Father. We are so much bigger than just one little place, God. Lord, your church. And they would look at your church and say, wow. Wow, these people, they must have been with Jesus. So, Father, we pray that for our lives this morning. Father, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.